Welcome into the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today is Thursday, November 16th. It's week 11. This Sunday, the Jags visit First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio, and face the 0-9 Browns. Coming up, we'll visit with a couple of great receivers in this league. Keenan McCardell is the wide receivers coach for the Jags, and he should have some youngsters on the field this week. Also, Hall of Fame wide receiver and CBS Sports analyst James Lofton is covering another Jags game this week. We'll hear his thoughts on Jags quarterback Blake Bortles and much more ahead of this Sunday's game. Let's get to the week around Everbank Field. We start off with the aftermath of last week's win over the Chargers, a 20-17 overtime win in unlikely fashion. And from the two-minute warning to the end of the game, well, that in itself had a game's worth of action. Somehow the Jags pulled it out to improve to 6-3. And, of course, on Jaguars Monday Radio, Tony Boselli and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco discussed the playoff possibilities.
When you play the better teams, as I expect this team to make the playoffs based on the record and
where you got them in the Super Bowl last week. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, don't back off now, Tony.
Don't back off that.
I might have been on the show this morning, but Dan and Jeff were pushing me about, because Dan thinks we're going to the Super Bowl, they forced me into giving a scenario how we go to the Super Bowl. So I did that this morning as well.
Ooh. What was it?
Oh, I just made up something.
Come on, I want to hear it.
Come on, Tony.
No, I said you win the division. You're a
two seed.
Well, I said the three
you could
seed.
Be a two seed.
You could be, but
you
I said
be a two seed.
I said three seed. You play okay. Buffalo in the first round.
Right.
You beat Buffalo. Then you go to Pittsburgh because the Pittsburgh would be the two seed.
Oh, give them the business again.
And you play Pittsburgh. Kansas City ends up as the four seed. They play New England.
Upsets New England.
No, they beat New England. They lose to New England. And then we go. And the whole scenario was we go play New England. And the Achilles heel of Tom Brady is a good inside pass rush. And between Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell, and Marcell Dareus, they dominate the game, hit Tom Brady, and we win. And we go to Minneapolis.
We're going to Gillette Stadium for the AFC Championship. It started in training camp. That's where it ends in the AFC, baby.
And they've been there for a championship game before, not in Gillette Stadium, but in New England.
We're going to exercise the demons of 1996.
Check out the archive on Jaguars.com or catch the Jags Monday podcast on iTunes. Also on Monday, former Browns safety and current Jaguars safety Tashawn Gibson went on ESPN Radio on the Jaguars Victory Monday and said that he plans on beating his old team by 40 and shutting them out. Well, that set off a firestorm on social media this week and, of course, in the Browns locker room, and it opened on Wednesday. Gibson followed up those comments Wednesday in his locker room here at Everbank Field.
People wanted to make it sound like I was bitter or anything about it. It wasn't about the Browns, man. It was just the type of confidence I have in this defense, man. Obviously, they don't have a Tom Brady, so I mean, to say that about Tom Brady, I mean, that's kind of blasphemous. But, you know, I feel like any given Sunday, man, we can pitch shutouts. You know, we did it against Indianapolis Colts, you know, who I think they have premier guys on offense. And, you know, I think that it was just one of those things. Just my confidence for this defense is uber high right now. So, yeah, I definitely feel like we could pitch a shutout against any team. And just so happened, Cleveland happened to be the next team on the list, and Cleveland happened to be the team that we're going to pitch a shutout against.
Gibson's teammates stood by him, including defensive captain Telvin Smith.
Anytime you're going on your own stumping grounds or a place that you feel like you didn't get your just due, you're going to feel some type of way. And because that's my brother, I'm backing his feelings up. So, you know, I'm with him, riding with him. I heard what he said. You know, I'm with him. 10 toes down, and that's the mentality that we're developing. He said it, so we're behind him. Let's do it.
Yes, we asked what 10 toes down meant. It means on guard, standing strong, on your feet. That was the description from Telvin. That's what the Jags defense will be doing this week in Cleveland. The Browns are 0-9. The Jaguars, of course, are 6-3. That means the Jags are heavily favored in this one. But for a team trying to stay at the top of the AFC South, they can't take it lightly. For defensive tackle Malik Jackson, it's a different mindset here than in the past.
I mean, it's one of those things I think we have to understand, you know, flip the mindset. It's one of those things that we're going into a team that, you know, now we're the hunters, so now we have to start beating the teams we're supposed to beat. We just have to make sure we go out there and do what we're supposed to do. That team might be 0-8, but they've been in a lot of really close games, you know. So it's one of those things that if you go in there and think you're just going to go in there and waltz in there and walk out with a win, you're sorely mistaken, and our coaches have made that clear, and we know that as competitors.
For rookie left tackle Cam Robinson, it has nothing to do with what the Browns do. It's all Jags all the time.
Something that's really important is to not really focus on who we're playing, but just more so focus on what we do. Just keep doing the things that we've been doing to get us to this point so far. If it's not broke, don't fix it. It's the kind of mindset we have. So, I mean, we're not going to change our approach, or no one's mindset in there has changed. So we just, you know, still pedal to the metal.
Finally, the weather is a topic this week. Forecast highs on Sunday in Cleveland are in the mid to low 30s with snow. It's something this team hasn't dealt with in years. Trying to get an offense moving is hard enough, but throw in Mother Nature and it becomes much tougher, according to tight end Mercedes Lewis.
You got to pick your spots, obviously, in the passing game, but really, you know, try to go out there and establish the run game, obviously, to make everything easier. And, you know, I believe we have the personnel to do it. So, you know, our focus is just going in there, paying great attention to detail on the plan, and you know, just doing what we do. I mean, you can't put too much on it. We just got to do what we do. Get back to what we do.
The injury report this week is crowded. 13 players were on the list Thursday. 4 of them missed practice, including left guard Patrick Omame and right tackle Jeremy Parnell. The receiving core is banged up as well. Marquise Lee is still listed with a knee issue, but he should be able to go again like he has the last couple of games. And Alan Hearns is still wearing a boot and getting around with a cart during open locker room time. At the receiver position, that means a lot of young guys getting opportunities, including rookie fourth-round draft pick D.D. Westbrook. And for wide receivers coach Keenan McCardell, it will be a bit different for D.D. when he suits up in Cleveland this Sunday.
He made a lot of plays in the preseason. That doesn't always equate to regular season success. How different will this be when he lines up in Cleveland on Sunday than it was game 4 of the preseason?
Anyway, he's going to be facing the number ones, you know, and one thing that D.D. lacks is he doesn't lack confidence, and that's something that I like. I mean, at that position, at our position, you got to have a lot of confidence in your game and your ability, and I think he has that. You know, I just hope he comes out, take one play at a time, don't press, just go out and make the plays when your number's called.
Keelan Cole is the guy who's starting to find his way, it seems like. A couple weeks maybe into the season, it was just so big and fast and strong, right? He's starting to kind of find his way and getting a catch here or there, and it seems like you got a big smile on your face. You like what Keelan Cole has done.
Yeah, I have. I mean, he's grown up. You know, I told him the other day, I said, you're not a rookie anymore. We're 9 games in it. You know, the first 3 games I give you the rookie status, but now you're not a rookie. You've gotten a lot of snaps. It's time to step up, make plays when your numbers call, you know, and people are going to challenge you. They're going to continue to challenge you, and you got to step up and rise up to the challenge, and he's done that. I mean, I just want him to keep getting better, keep improving. Each day he's out there, each game he's out there.
About a guy like Jadon Mickens, who made the flash with the punt return touchdown. He's only been here for a few weeks. Stepped in when Hearnsy went out and made a big catch last week in the game. But is he a guy that can jump in pretty quick here? It seems like he's got a head on his shoulders pretty good.
Yeah, he has a great head on his shoulders. He's a smart football player, you know, which I really like. And playing, you know, slot position, you got to be a smart, heady guy. And he's one of those guys. He has great quickness. Kid that's getting opportunity. You know, he hadn't had a lot of opportunities, but when he's had them, he's made the most of them. And I, you know, this week he'll probably get a lot more opportunities, and you got to make the most of them. You know, and like everybody says, I mean, when the opportunity of the door of the opportunity it opens for you, you got to step in and take advantage of it. I mean, and that's what this league is about. When you get your opportunity, you take advantage of it, and now you're on your way.
Hear the full conversation with Jags wide receivers coach Keenan McCardell this Sunday in the Publix tailgate show. From one great receiver to another now, James Lofton is a CBS Sports analyst and works alongside play-by-play man Andrew Catalan. That announce crew has had the Jaguars a handful of times this year, and this week is the 3rd Jags game in a row they've covered. For Lofton, things are coming together for this Jaguars football team. Visiting with Hall of Fame wide receiver and CBS Sports analyst, Jaguar fans are starting to know him well. James Lofton with us. What's up, James? How you doing, man?
Not much. How are you guys doing? I know they had Victory Monday this last week again. So that's always a nice deal.
When you can stack up some victory Mondays, that means you're doing pretty well. 6-3, and it's unfamiliar territory for the last few years around here. Let's start off with last week's game, James. I mean, this is the last 2 minutes of that game, from the 2-minute warning through overtime, was one of the craziest endings we've seen. Now, I get you were with the Bills, the comeback game, and all that. That's a different animal. But there's nothing really compares to what we saw the last week. That was a strange ending last week.
If I were to tell you that your quarterback is going to throw two interceptions in the last 2 minutes of the game, and you're going to find a way to win it, you would just ask me to give you the car keys right away because I should not be driving.
Yeah, and the timing of them was strange. How they happened were strange. And, of course, the defense making plays to get the ball back was not so strange. That's happened for the Jaguars this year. Let's get into Bortles. You know, this was kind of his season summed up into one game. He had the 11-play drive where he threw it every down and looked pretty good early in the game, third quarter, and then the two picks at the end. That's kind of what Blake Bortles has been throughout his career.
Yeah, but in his defense, he was arguably going up against the best two defensive ends in the league as a tandem. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram have been putting tremendous pressure on a lot of people. And it was interesting. I talked to Joey Bosa before the game, and he said it's not always about the sack, but it's about how much you affect the quarterback and his ability to throw the ball comfortably. And so Blake Bortles, there weren't too many passes where he was throwing and there was nobody around him. Either it was Bosa or Melvin Ingram bearing down on him all day long. And late in the game, they got to him. They forced a high throw into coverage, and it got intercepted. And, you know, some miraculous things on defense happened. And, you know, it was an ending that I don't think Jaguar fans will forget too soon.
James Lofton is with us. You've seen Blake enough this year. First off, how many games have you done this year, Jaguar games?
Got my shoes off so I can use my toes. I want to say five, and I think that sounds about right. So out of the 8-9 ball games that they've had, we've had them five times. I know we had them in week one when they upset the Houston Texans. We had them in the overtime loss against New York. So those were two really big games on the road. We had them twice in Jacksonville, and we had them across the pond in London.
So you've seen Blake Bortles enough to maybe be able to answer this question. When he's going well and when he's not playing well, what's the difference in the Blake Bortles?
Well, I'm going to go all the way back to his rookie year when they played against the San Diego Chargers. I was doing radio broadcasts at the time for Sunday Night Football, but I was also doing some local TV stuff for the San Diego Chargers at the time, and they were getting ready to play the Jaguars, so I watched a couple of games of Blake Bortles, and I became a Blake Bortles fan. The athleticism, I think, is a little bit underrated. His speed on game day is a lot better than his speed at the combine, and he can throw the ball for distance, and he can throw it through coverage because he has a powerful arm. So I like what I've seen, and I really like what I've seen with Nathaniel Hackett and some of the little things. The play where he scrambled out of the pocket, the last drive in regulation, and high step to get out of bounds to avoid a tackle. You break down all 32 quarterbacks, I'd say 25 of them get tackled inbounds on that run, and time expires on them. So there are little things that he does that are underappreciated because I think he does them every week. In terms of running the football, you know, he may not be as dramatic as Cam Newton or as flashy as a couple other guys, but he gets the job done when he pulls it down.
Now, last week, James, the Jags' running game was not there, and it's kind of the consensus among analysts around here that Leonard Fournette didn't really look 100%, even after nearly a month away with the ankle injury and then the being held out of the lineup in a bye week in between and all that. They couldn't really get a lot done. Of course, up front was a bit of an issue. They've had offensive line guys coming in and out the last few weeks, and if you can't settle the line, it's tough to get something consistent going in that run game. I think that was the case last week.
And when you looked at the game from the press box like we were, or you watch it on game film, The San Diego Chargers said, okay, let's see if you can beat us on the outside. Let's see if you can beat our corners one-on-one, because we're going to stack the line of scrimmage with 6-7 run defenders, and we're going to plug every hole. And you're right, the Jaguars' offensive lines were a little bit banged up and patched up, so they weren't at 100%, but you got to really credit, I think, the Los Angeles Chargers and their run defense this past week.
James Lofton is with us, CBS Sports analyst of the call this Sunday of the Browns and the Jaguars in Cleveland. The Jaguars' defense turned it on when they needed to at the end of the game. You know, they, boy, in that two-minute period there at the end of the game, they had a couple of takeaways. The fumble was a return for a touchdown and overturned. The interception by Boye in overtime was a fantastic play. It's a group, when they get rolling, it's hard to slow these guys down. They have like a that blood-in-the-water scent kind of thing, and they're feeling it right now in this Jags defense. Is this among the best groups in the National Football League right now, if not they're at the very top? Or do you feel that
they have talent at every level? Defensive line, obviously, Calais Campbell, the way he's playing, Yannick Ngakoue. When you can stand these two guys on the sideline next to the coach and say, okay, you guys are going in with the backups. Well, you can do that with Marcel Darius and Dante Fowler Jr. That's pretty good. Those are two top five picks in the NFL draft. And so when they come off the bench as reserves, you know, we always think about the NBA and we get all excited about the sixth man award. Well, I give those two guys the 12th and 13th man awards in the NFL because they are dynamic playmakers. And down the stretch, I think the Jaguar fans are going to be glad that they have them.
Is this a Jags team that's capable of making a run here in November and December? Are they?
They've already started it.
Yeah, true. They have.
So that kind of answers that question, because in the post-game press conferences, you've heard Doug Marrone talk about, okay, this quarter of the season is over and this last quarter of the season is over. So they just started a new quarter of the season. They started 1-0. So you make the run each week, and then you kind of stack them together at the end of the season. And right now I'd go back and look in your closet to those preseason publications to see how many wins the Jaguars are supposed to have, and you'll wish that you had gone to Vegas and put some money on it.
For entertainment purposes only, James.
Exactly.
That's what you can do around
exactly.
Here. James Lofton.
But you're in Vegas, so it's legal there.
It's legal there, I guess, yeah. James Lofton, Hall of Fame wide receiver, CBS Sports analyst with us. The Cleveland Browns are 0-9. Their defense is playing hard, though. They're 12th overall, 4th against the run. We'll get to the offense coming up. That's a different animal altogether. But at least defensively, this is a group that's kept the Browns in some games this year. They've had a lot of close losses here in Cleveland.
They have. In my overall picture of the Browns, I got to give it to you all at once, and we can dissect it later. You know that new high school that just opened up down the road, real shiny? But they're going to start, and they're only going to have 9th and 10th graders. And they're going to try and field a varsity football team. Mm. That's the Cleveland Browns. You look at their roster. A lot of people have young rosters. But you look and you go, okay, who's the player that can really make a difference on the field? And they're playing so many young people out there that it's just hard for them to get a grip on it. And, you know, you guys witnessed it in Jacksonville.
Yes.
And this past season, when they went out and they got, you know, Barry Church, they got Calais Campbell, you pick up A.J. Boye, things start to look a little different defensively. They had been good and talented, but they couldn't really do enough. And then the play of Blake Bortles. So, yeah, you're right. Cleveland's defense, a lot of talent, a lot of early picks. They just lost Jamie Collins to an MCL injury. He's out for the season. So that doesn't help out a lot, but they play hard. And they just get worn down, though, because the offense can't lift them up enough.
On the offensive side, James, quarterback, well, that long list of quarterbacks continues. They've got guys in and out of the lineup this year for a number of reasons, and they just can't figure out something consistently on the offensive side.
But the nice thing about it, if you are a parent of a Browns player, you're going to get a chance to see them play because they play everybody. They played all three quarterbacks. They have 6 wide receivers that play, no real standouts. But, you know, I give Hugh Jackson a lot of credit because every Monday you've got to come back in. We always talk about defensive backs having a short memory. If you play for the Cleveland Browns, you need to have a short memory because everybody's going to tell you how bad you are this year, how bad you were the year before, how bad you've been the last 4 or 5 years. And that gets tough. That wears on guys.
James, we're looking forward to the game this Sunday. The Browns and the Jaguars coming up in Week 11, and I appreciate your time. Good to talk to you.
Always, JP. Nice talking to you.
Hear the full visit with Hall of Fame wide receiver and CBS Sports analyst James Lofton coming up Sunday on the Public Tailgate Show. Coming up Friday morning on Jaguars.com, it's Jaguars Drive Time. Sexton, Osher, and Sullivan get you ready for Friday and the weekend. And then on Sunday, the Public Tailgate Show airs at 10 o'clock on 1010XL Radio, Jaguars.com, and the Jags app, and Jags social media as well. EverBank Jaguars Weekend TV airs Sunday at 10:30 on Fox 30 Television in Jacksonville. Check your local listings outside of the Jacksonville television market. Our thanks to Jaguars wide receivers coach Keenan McCardell and CBS sports analyst James Lofton for their time this week. And as always, thanks to Jags manager of radio Joe Fortunato. We'll talk to you next week on the JP Shadrick Podcast.